Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as Hannah was talking about with the kids, what did we celebrate earlier this week? Valentine's Day. Did you celebrate? I know, you know, my birthday is the 13th, and so it's always hard of February to do, all right, it's all about me day, and then, oh, now I have to love everybody else. And so, just being honest, okay? but it's part of I think maybe as you grow older, as kid, it's pretty easy to give somebody a Valentine and a piece of candy and to write your name and write their name. As we get a little bit older, how do you tell someone, you know, I love you? Maybe with a spouse, you take them out for a nice dinner. Maybe you buy flowers. Maybe you're beyond that, you know. How do you tell someone that you love them? What does love look like? And why is it so important for us as Christians to know, to believe, and to act that we are people marked by love? So today I want to answer those questions by looking at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13. This is just right as Jesus has entered in Jerusalem. He spent the week in Jerusalem. Now he's preparing with his disciples to celebrate the Passover. They didn't know it, but it would be his last Passover on earth. He'd made all the arrangements for an upper room, sent the disciples ahead of him. They went to this upper room, and as they were gathered at this table, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, teaches his disciples what's really important. These are his last actions, his last words with his disciples. And so I want you to pay attention to these words today. Just thinking about the impact as Jesus had meaning behind every word as he was heading to the cross. Jesus told his disciples this, or the scripture says, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his what? Of his love. Not with a Valentine, but let's go on. That evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and he had come from God and was returning to God. And so Jesus knew that all things were entrusted to him. He was sent from God, but now would be returning. And so he did something. He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus, the Master, acted, loved like a servant. He then shared with his disciples this later on in that chapter. He says, this is the new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. And so I look at those last words of Jesus in this passage, that he gives a new command. You know, in the Old Testament, there were, you know, 600 some instructions of things you should do and you shouldn't do. And Jesus gives how many commands? It should be simple, right? Love one another as I have loved you, so you ought to love one another. He says, you, my followers, my disciples, you are marked by love. That's right. You are marked by love. And not only have we received this love, but we are to share this love with others. In fact, that if we love each other as God has loved us, if we do that, the whole world, they'll notice. They'll notice that we're different. They'll notice that there's something about us that they can't understand. Why do we love in such an intense way? Because we have been marked We have been marked by Jesus. We have been marked by love. And so that's our challenge for today, to live out as God's beloved people, loving the people that God has put around us, even the people we don't like, even the people we have a hard time with. We are people marked by love. And I think this can be somewhat confusing because in our English language, love is a word that we've used for lots of different things, right? You know, we love pizza, all right? We love Netflix. We love driving. We love traveling. We love all sorts of things. We love our puppies, but we also love our friends. We love our family. We love our kids. It's kind of clumsy. It's kind of messy. But the Bible actually has four different words for love that are more descriptive about what this kind of love that Jesus is instructing us. You may have heard this before, so maybe this is a good refresher. There's the phileo love, this brotherly love. It's like you come up to somebody and you do the fist bump and say, "Yo, bud." All right, you know, this brotherly kind of love that you just really relate with as, you know, guys, as friends, this we love each other. We're not family, but we're brothers, okay? There's the other type of love called storge. This is a love that is more intimate. It's kind of this familial love. It's the love that is expressed within a family, that it's deeper than phileo love, but it's a love that knows is connected by blood. Then there's the love that we kind of often think about Valentine's Day, right? The eros love, this attractional, sometimes lust love, this love that is more physical than anything else. And so this eros love is another type of love that we find in the Bible. And then there's the word for love that Jesus used. I'm sure you're familiar with this. It's agape. Agape love. And this is more of a sacrificial love. It's a love that puts the other first. It's a love that says, I'm not here for myself, but I'm here for you. For God so agaped the world, right? God so loved the world that what did he do? He sent his one and only Son. And so Jesus, as he's teaching his disciples, he's saying, I want you to have not eros love, not phileo love, not storge love, but I want you to have agape love, because this is the love that the Father has for you. This is the love that Jesus has for us. When you think about all that Jesus gave up to become a human being, Jesus, who is crowned in glory as God's beloved Son in heaven, he gave up his divinity, his power to be wrapped up in human flesh, vulnerable and weak and small, to be born of a woman, not in a castle, but in a stable. Jesus came to earth because he loved us. And Jesus not only told his disciples what love is, but he showed them. Jesus showed them when he got out from behind the seat of power, the head of the table, he took off his outer garment. He grabbed water and a basin, and he went to his disciples' feet. Okay. They wore sandals a lot, but there was a lot of dust, right? They probably didn't smell the best, but Jesus took upon the role of the servant, and he washed his disciples' feet. His disciples didn't know this, but Jesus also knew that he was going to the cross. Jesus knew the sacrifice he would make for them, for the world, that Jesus would love the world so much that he gave up his life. He gave up his life so that we might live. That when we love with the false love, when we love more selfishly, Jesus says, I have died for that sin, that nothing may separate you from the love of God our Father. Because this agape love is not something that starts from us. It's something that is given from God. And so when I challenge you, people of God, to live with agape love, how do you get it? Where does agape love come from? Agape love comes from understanding how loved you are By who? By the Father. When you let it sink in down to the core of who you are, that the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and the earth, looks at you and he loves you so much. He loves you and he desires a relationship with you. The being that put the stars in the sky is, I want you to spend eternity with me. I want nothing to come between us. And this love of the Father, it changes us. It marks us as a people who are loved, that we may love as God has loved us. I'm sure if you think about the most loving people that you know, that it just kind of bubbles up from within them. I think at the core of who they are, they know about their identity in Christ. They know that they are loved, that nothing can take away that love. And so that identity in Christ as a baptized child of God, it bubbles up. But I'm sure you've met people on the opposite end of it. People who struggle to believe that they're loved. People who don't feel loved. People who don't love others because they don't feel loved. As Christians, this should mark us, this should change us to know and believe that we are people who are loved by the Father. But I also think that agape love comes from humility. Agape love comes from a posture of humility. When you think about Jesus, who was at that table teaching his disciples, he was the master, he was their Lord, he was the teacher. But Jesus assumed the posture of a servant as he went and he washed the disciples' feet. Jesus didn't think of himself above others, but he considered himself a servant. I think sometimes agape love gets in the way when we get so full of ourselves. Like I talked about earlier, you know, my birthday and then Valentine's Day, all right? Who was I thinking of? Me. It's so easy to do, isn't it? It's so easy to do, to caught up in our own lives, to instead of leading and living from a place of humility, we lead from a place of selfishness, of pride as we think about ourselves better than others. And instead of saying, how can I love you? How can I share the love that I have received from the Father? We think, what can I get out of this? And that's why Jesus came. He came so that we wouldn't be marked by our sin, that we wouldn't be marked by our selfishness. But Jesus came that through repentance and faith, we could be marked by love. That Jesus changes us. And also, agape love must eventually overflow into service. It overflows into action. It overflows into a life of loving others. Jesus was one loving action after another, and he tells us as his disciples, this is the way the world will know that you are my disciple, if you love one another as I have loved you. This was Jesus' plan to change the world, not to have big churches, not to have, you know, lots of power or money, not to have a kingdom on earth, but to create a people who would love the world in the same way that he loved them. He calls us the body of Christ. He calls us the church, so that we may love others as he has loved us. If you had a video crew following your life for a week, and then you got a chance to kind of review it as they watched you living, as they watched you interacting at work, at home, at church, outside these walls, would it capture humility? Would it capture agape love? What would it capture? I want you to think about that today. If a video crew followed you for a week, what would they see? All right. Hopefully none of you pick your nose. That would be so embarrassing, all right? So what would they see? I want to challenge you to live your life in such a way, because the world's watching. Our kids are watching, to live our lives, because I believe that agape love will breed abundant life. That when we love with the sacrificial love, this life of God, of Jesus, will overflow from within us and pour into the lives of others. Do you want life? Live with love. Do you want others, your family members, your kids, to have life? Live with love. It's the love of Jesus that gives abundant life. That's my prayer for us, people of God, to live with the love that Jesus had, the love that the Father gave him, the love that we have received through repentance and faith, that we may go and change the world, not with our power, not with our wealth, but with our love. May we be people marked with love, that the world may know that Jesus loves them too. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We pray. Lord God, thank you for the love you've shown us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to live with that same love, to live as people marked by love. Let this be evident in our relationships, in our relationships with our best friends, in our marriages, in our relationship with our kids. Help them to see the love that changes us. I pray, Lord, that the world may also notice that we are different, that there is something within us that can't be explained. The love that we have that is sacrificial and not self-seeking. I pray, Lord, that the way that your church here at Talmadge Lutheran Church, that the way that we love may change the world one person at a time. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
At this time,